it again. I'll be back with you on Friday. Please have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful evening. Be safe. Stay with the Head On Radio Network. And we'll get back together again on Friday. Thanks for listening.
This is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wrapped up her visit to Iraq, Pakistan, and Afghanistan this weekend. In an interview, she said the best way to stabilize the region is to take U.S. troops out of Iraq. Iraqi officials report that a joint U.S.-Iraqi battle this weekend near the Shiite holy city of Najaf left 200 members of a religious cult dead. Two U.S. soldiers were killed on Sunday when their helicopter went down near Najaf. The U.S. military is investigating the cause of the crash. Iraqi officials say that insurgents shot down the helicopter during the intense battle. President Bush called the Najaf fight as an example of how the Iraqis are taking control over their country. President Bush also warned Iran today that if it increases its military involvement in Iraq, the U.S., quote, will respond firmly. Around Baghdad today, at least 24 people were killed in violent attacks. 70 were wounded. At a southern Israeli resort town today, a Palestinian suicide bomber killed himself and three people at a bakery. This was the first suicide attack in Israel in 9 months. In Afghanistan, the incoming commander of U.S. troops says he expects more suicide attacks by the Taliban this year. Militants set a record last year with 139 suicide bombings. In Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai today called for peace talks with the Taliban. More than 4,000 people have died in the Afghan war last year, making it the deadliest year since the conflict began in 2001. A U.S. Navy submarine commander involved in the recent collision with a Japanese ship in the Persian Gulf was relieved of his duty. The incident occurred in the narrow shipping channel, the Strait of Hormuz. There were no injuries. The State Department is investigating Israel's use of cluster bombs in the war against Hezbollah last summer. The preliminary findings show that agreements with the U.S. over their use were likely violated by the Israeli army. 9 anti-war protesters were arrested by Capitol Hill police today after hundreds of activists crowded into congressional office buildings. They were arrested for unlawful assembly. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee announced he will seek the Republican nomination for president in 2008. The Reverend Robert Drynan has died in Washington, D.C. at the age of 86. The Roman Catholic priest was a lawyer, law school teacher, and a congressman. The condition of a 70-year-old Northern California man who survived a mountain lion attack has worsened. He is now listed in critical condition at a San Francisco hospital. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
For the next 5 days, the world's top climatologists are meeting in Paris to debate global warming. They will issue a report on Friday. Prince Charles was presented with the annual top award by the Harvard Medical School Center for Health and the Global Environment. He has long been a champion of environmental causes, particularly the fight against global warming. The Wall Street Journal reports that U.S. Airways has increased its offer for Delta Airlines by an additional $1 billion. Delta is under bankruptcy protection. Citigroup is buying Prudential's Egg Bank, a British insurer. The deal is worth more than $1.1 billion U.S. dollars. Merrill Lynch announced today it is buying San Francisco-based First Republic Bank for $1.8 billion. The cash and stock deal will give the brokerage giant a commercial bank with 43 branches, mostly in California. The liberal talk radio network Air America announced it has tentatively found a buyer. A New York area real estate company founder will likely purchase the bankrupt struggling network. Verizon Communications reports its fourth quarter profit fell by 38%. However, the phone company says it added more than 2 million subscribers during that period. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $54.01 on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 6 points at 12,492. The NASDAQ is up 6 points as well, and the S&P 500 is down 2. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head-On Radio Network for the beginning of another week. And for those of you that were tuning into the horn before I came on, you will have noticed there are changes afoot. And John feels like he now has to lift his intellectual game at the top and the bottom of the week now, because I have Dr. Bill preceding me. And I never went to uni, but I reckon that show feels like what a good lecture would be. So, you know, Mondays and Fridays, Dr. Bill, 3 to 5 Eastern, just awesome stuff. And there's all kinds of other stuff. Before we get into things, I'm just going to take care of some housekeeping here. And Mr. Jeff Allen Wolf, and if you have not caught his program and his particularly smooth style of doing radio, it's going to all become so much easier. Jeff is moving to 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time here on the Horn, and very shortly he's even going to be all wired up to take your phone calls. So, you know, and he's got such a great counter to everybody else on this network, and it's, you know, very magazine-y, and it's very schmick, and he's got all this great imaging. He's making me feel guilty. But anyway, and don't worry, Joe Vecchio is not lost. Joe Vecchio is not lost. He will be coming on before Jeff starting next week. But we'll have more about that as we get there. So things, they are a change in here at the Horn, and this is all really, really exciting news. So now you're looking at, what is it, 60 hours of programming a week coming out of the horn. And, you know, not bad considering, we only launched this thing with two shows a year ago. So, check it out. Check out Jeff. And I think it's that's a great slot for him, too. It's going to be great. And Joe Vecchio coming back very, very soon. Now to get into business. Business. And, there's a lot of stuff out there. But before I get into the green thing, even though I hate how the media ends up reporting this stuff, how good were the visions from D.C. this weekend? And I'm really, really hoping that our good mate Phil's going to ring in to Bob tonight, because I want to hear reports from the ground, because 500,000 demonstrators and just some really, really great pictures of folks from all walks of life who made the effort to go down to D.C. and basically say, look, you crooks, no more, we've had it. And but the media, bloody, even out here in Australia, who's calling the shots? Bloody Murdoch and the rest of them. All you see here is Jane Fonda at protest in D.C. It's like, oh my God, how bad is this? How just let's just paint it like it's Vietnam again, even though it's similar in many ways, but let's just focus on evil people like Jane Fonda and Sean Penn. Give me a break. It's just they're just so sad. I just think that's fantastic. Sorry, I was being kind of, my attention was pulled there for a second. Sorry, folks. What a sign to see 500,000 people in D.C. And, I know it took an effort for those that went, and I just, I was really heartened to see it. But yet, even down here, they said tens of thousands. But my favorite, that's just minimalizing, but my favorite statistic of the whole thing is the fact that there was a counter-protest of 40. I'm liking those 10,000 to 1 odds. How about you? Oh, my. I just think that says it all unbelievably well. It's just a beautiful thing. But later on, we're going to do, for our track of the day, before we cut out to our first break, we got some B.B. King, because B.B.'s been in the hospital, but he's out of hospital, which is a good thing. And it was nothing serious. And to go along with the idea of great bluesmen, I've just figured since, had a minor bit of a scare that, a legend who's getting on, could have been in trouble. But no. B.B.'s ready to get right back out on the road. I tell you, I still think the guy does over 200 gigs a year, something absolutely insane like that. Just absolutely just crazy. And if it doesn't prove that music keeps you young, that's what I reckon. we got stuff to. I've got a great story coming up, and we'll do this when we get back, about one of the best moves, I think, to up the profile of the zero emissions car. And it's happened in Mexico. And I just think it's too cool for school. So we'll do that when we get back. And we got a couple of other things. Got some. Where am I going? There's some reports out of Common Dreams and the Associated Press that this report that's going to come out in Paris, this International Climate Change report, is just way, 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 too rose-colored glasses type thing. And they're just seeming to ignore a few key factors as though they're going with, what we knew up until, 2001, and as you and I all know, things are accelerating as far as the changes to this planet. So, you know, we're going to go out to our first break here as I get kind of things organized, and we get into some interesting green stuff and some BB King. I don't know. I'm feeling very loose for Monday, and I don't know. It all just—it's all a bit different because I have Bob Kincaid producing today. What an honor! So thanks, Bob, for coming in today. So let's go out and take this break. I'm going to get my head together, and when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about a really, really, really cool electric car. We'll be right back. I can stick it high. I can play the guitar like a motherfucking lion.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And not only is it Bob, but we've got Bob and Agnes. It's Team Kincaid. Oh, my, I better get my act together. So, all right, how to make the image of a zero-emissions car cool in one really cool move. Check this out. British Embassy Mini Cooper. Hybrid Technologies, which is one of the big lithium battery outfits, who are involved in many of the projects on electric cars and hybrids, has successfully provided the British Embassy in Mexico City with the world's first lithium powered embassy vehicle, and it's a Mini Cooper, right? The vehicle is a BMW Group Mini Cooper 5-speed. It was selected by the embassy and hybrid technologies as it was both highly popular vehicle and it had the British recognition value, as well as being a technically sound vehicle to engineer and convert. The British Embassy Mini Cooper is powered by a state-of-the-art power plant producing zero emissions whilst providing high performance. The model is of particular interest to international governments as it is a prime example of sustainable zero-emissions transportation. Hybrid technologies will produce several models of the Mini Cooper, as well as the PT Cruiser for government fleet replacement. And this is, like, really, really cool. A Mini Cooper was never supposed to, you know, speed barriers anyway. I mean, it's more a bit of novelty, really. But I mean, what great cars! I love them, and I'm not even a gearhead, and I dig Coopers. But it says the delivered Mini Cooper produces the following performance statistics: a 5-speed gearbox allowing speeds in excess of 80 miles an hour, range of over 120 miles, charge time 6 to 8 hours with either 110 to 120 volts or 220 to 240. The battery weight is about 600 pounds, about 270 kilos. Of lithium cells, and it has a cycle life of 1,500 plus charges. And they were asked. This is a press release at hybridtechnologies.com. It says, why did Hybrid Technologies select Mexico City to launch its technically advanced lithium-powered Mini Cooper? The Mexican Health Secretary says that more than a third of Mexico's disease burden is the result of environmental factors, the most serious of which is air pollution. A recent CEC study found that respiratory ailments related to air pollution were the cause of death for at least half or more than 2,800 miners who died in the northern border city of Ciudad Juarez. Though especially pressing in the country's largest cities, e.g. Mexico City, Guadalajara, air pollution also has intensified along the border with the United States because of the growing number of factories, as well as the increased truck traffic with the United States. Air pollution in northern Mexico also impacts the United States border areas. Mexico City has the worst air pollution in the country and ranks amongst the most polluted cities in the world. Its ozone levels exceed World Health Organization standards 300 days a year. The Mexican government recognizes the severity of its air pollution problem and has proposed innovative solutions to address it. Well, this is very, very cool. And there's a picture on this page here showing Ambassador Holt having a bit of a test drive, and it just looks like, you know, your normal groovy little green Mini Cooper. So I reckon that is one of the most brilliant moves Hybrid Technologies could have made. And why am I not surprised, having been under the hood of an old Mini Cooper or two? I don't know what these new ones would be like, but you know, if they've stuck to anything of their history, you know, it's open it up, it's pretty clear sailing getting your hands in there. So interesting, very, very interesting. So all right, let's set up the old track of the day on that happy note. And this is a happy note too, because on Friday we heard that B.B. King went into hospital, and immediately my brain thought his diabetes was wreaking havoc on him. But from All Headline News, it says, out of Galveston, Texas, thankfully B.B. King is no longer singing the hospital blues. Just a few days after entering the facility everybody hates to be at, the musician has been given permission to go home. On Saturday, B.B. King was discharged from the hospital and feeling fabulous and receiving necessary antibiotics for a 100-degree fever and flu. His management team in New York said the blues legend was then sent home and is already planning to get the show back on the road. Although a few concerts have been rescheduled for later this year, B.B. King is feeling his old self. And his spokesperson insists he is ready to perform in Fort Worth as planned on Tuesday night. And So, you know, in honor of B.B. King, and I chose this track, A Pity to Fool, just kind of, I don't know why, I was reading B.B. King and looking at the protest pictures, and Mr. T popped into my head. And in reference to the administration, I reckon there's a bit of a pity to fool going on with the American people starting to take to the streets, and I hope that this just continues. So, to take us out to the bottom of the hour, B.B. King and a pity to fool. Roll it, Bob.
I'm
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
You just got to let that line get by, you know. So welcome back to Foxed Up here, folks. show today being produced by Team Kincaid. All right. Where are we going? Oh, we got just so many things we could possibly do. Okay. Over at good old Common Dreams, via the Associated Press, says the climate report too rosy, experts say. Later this week in Paris, climate scientists will issue a dire forecast for the planet that warns of slowly rising sea levels and higher temperatures, but that may be the sugar-coated version. Early and changeable drafts of their upcoming authoritative report on climate change foresee smaller sea level rises than were predicted in 2001 in the last report. Many top U.S. scientists reject these rosier numbers. Those calculations don't include the recent and dramatic melt-off of big ice sheets in two crucial locations. They don't take into account the gorillas, Greenland, or Antarctica. And Ohio State University Earth Sciences Professor Lonnie Thompson, a polar ice specialist, says, I think there are unpleasant surprises as we move into the 21st century. Michael McCracken, who until 2001 coordinated the official U.S. government reviews of the International Climate Report on global warming, has fired off a letter of protest over the omission. Good on him. The melting ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica are a fairly recent development that has taken scientists by surprise. They don't know how to predict its effects in their models, but many fear it will mean the world's coastlines are swamped much earlier than most predicted. Others believe that ice melt is temporary and won't play such a dramatic role. Hey, fingers in the ears, hands over the eyes.
That debate may be the central one as scientists and bureaucrats from around the world gather in Paris to finish the first of four major global warming reports by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The panel was created by the United Nations in 1988. And, after 4 days of secret word-by-word editing, the final report will be issued Friday. Well, throwing a little bit of doubt into this one here, and why shouldn't it surprise me that Johnny Howard down here was all kind of excited about this one? And Johnny Howard's gotten all kind of... he's turning into the political monster that he is as the election here draws nearer, and it's a bit scary, but I'm not going to get too far into that today. But this is here it says Bob Carell, this will dominate their discussion because there's so much contentiousness about it, said Bob Cowell, chairman of the Arctic Climate Impact Assessment, a multinational research effort. If the IPCC comes out with significantly less than 1 meter, about 39 inches of sea level rise, there will be people in the science community saying we don't think that's a fair reflection of what we know. In the past, the climate change panel didn't figure there would be large melts of ice in western Antarctica and Greenland this century and didn't factor it into predictions. Those forecasts were based only on the sea level rise from melting glaciers, which are different from ice sheets, and the physical expansion of water as it warms. And so, you know, anybody who even remembers their basic, you know, bloody physics classes, you know, can kind of do the math, you know, displacement, expansion of space between the molecules with temperature rise, all that kind of stuff. Very, very basic physics. And you throw this much ice into the mix as a chunk, you're going to have displacement, and then it's going to continue to rise as that ice melts, because it will then physically take up more volume. That's why if you, you know, freeze a glass bottle of water, it can explode. So anyway, very, very, very interesting. So we'll have to keep a very, very close eye on why this is what they say, because it sounds like they're trying to sugarcoat things. And I know it's all kind of scary, and you know, some right-wingy type opinion writers around here have been saying, you know, it's a new religion, like Marxism. It's fundamentalist and it's doomsday-like. Like the Bible and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, well, you know, the world's finally kind of waking up to the fact and in the media that this is going on. So, you know, it's just time to get with the learning curve there, kiddos. Because we still have, you know, all this talk is great, but the action's still not happening fast enough. We have to accelerate things in a huge way. And, you know, I think all the projects that outfits like Hybrid Technologies are involved in just are doing very smart things by doing things like, you know, making an electric Mini Cooper. I keep clicking back and looking at the picture of that car. It's really, really cool. Now, the next one that I think would be really cool is if they were able to actually come up with a compressed air Cooper, because I still think that's one of the most interesting ideas. And, I mean, it's already in production, is that compressed air car, which I spoke about a couple weeks ago. You know, 150 kilometers or something like that on one tank of air. And, you know, so it's zero emissions, and, you know, producing the electricity to create the compression is, like, nowhere like a petrol engine. It's just, you know, it's just nuts. You know, so... it's very, 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 very interesting. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a powwow with my producer. So, all right, folks, we're gonna move on to the next thing. So, actually, the hybrid technology story came from another story, from our friends at treehugger.com, And, you know, I don't necessarily, I was just complaining about, you know, the protests and, you know, the media just focus on the celebrities that are there. But in certain areas, having celebrities get behind things can be crucial to having them become part of the mainstream culture. And at the top of treehugger.com, and there's links to all this on the blog post today, George Clooney will promote electric smart car in Italy. And he's dropped a fair chunk of change for one of these early prototype models. And Hybrid Technologies, the Nevada-based lithium iron battery slinger, just announced that it recruited Tango Driving carbon neutral Siriana starring George Clooney to promote his new electric smart car in Italy this summer. Word of the coming smart EV has been on the street for a while, but the stats have actually improved since Michael Graham Richard wrote about the project back in 2005. Hybrid Technologies has posted top speeds of 80 miles per hour for the smart, along with 120 miles autonomous range and a 6 to 8 hour charge time. HT starts filling orders for the car in February 2007, starting at $35,000. It is also now clear that Hybrid Technologies is a lab populated by engineers who don't sleep. In addition to converting smart cars and courting Clooney to beta test their new ride, the publicity traded company is also testing the waters of electric taxi cabs, scooters, and sports cars. It also has a hand in an electric 64 VW bus, but a renewable energy house, and provided an electric Mini Cooper, which I told you about, to the British Embassy in Mexico. So these guys are right on top of all of it, just kind of rocking along, putting the technology wherever they can, and it seems that their lithium technology is just accelerating as well. The strides over battery technology in just the last 12 months has just been absolutely incredible. And it's because there's more investment. Hey, what a concept! And, you know, as I try and put forth on this program, that being environmental is not bad business. In fact, it's the smartest business you can, you know, it's probably the best business ethic that there is. Because it will help to ensure the fact that you will be able to have a business and customers in the, you know, in the coming decades and centuries. So, you know, how cool. How bloody cool. And I want to the electric 64 VW electric bus is quite cool too. And I could see how that wouldn't be too difficult. Pull the engine, and there's not much weight to a VW bus. I reckon that probably wasn't a very hard stride. Now, they mention about, you know, Clooney doing his film as being carbon neutral, and as much as I think that, you know, doing the carbon neutral thing is a cool step, I sometimes fear that it'll become the guilt fixer. And I don't want to see the idea of, you know, paying to plant trees and things like that, or investing in, you know, compact fluorescent light bulbs for an entire community or some such thing counter and pay off your carbon output for an event, for a film. You know, Big Day Out went carbon neutral this year, and I think that's great, okay? But I'm afraid that in situations like Tony Blair, when asked if he cut down on his flights, he went, "No, I ain't gonna do that," which meant that after, you know, admitting that there were global warming was a real problem and that we needed to make changes, someone drew attention to the fact of how much he flies and how actually it's the recreational flight that is one of the most wasteful kind of things when it comes to you know, your carbon footprint. And so what did he do? He went and paid $300 or whatever to make his next flight carbon neutral. And I just don't want this to become a Band-Aid for everyone who wants to just get around their guilt. And actually, the Sydney Morning Herald, a story that I had from the other day that I didn't get to, there was a piece to this effect, and it says, a green response or just a guilt trip. And there's part of me that has to agree with some of the sentiments in the piece. And doesn't even have a reference to who it's from. Wendy Frew, pardon me. There it is. Helping people offset the environmental damage they cause at work and play is big business, but the critics say, is it effective? And it says, you know, the 50,000 music fans crammed into Sydney Showground on Thursday had come to see their favorite performers, groups like the Vines, who trashed a guitar and a drum kit on stage. The Big Day Out has experienced a phenomenal growth since its debut in 1992. That year, 9,000 people turned up at the Sydney Showground on a hot summer's day to pay homage to a 21-band lineup headlined by Nirvana. Today, the festival includes concerts in 6 cities in 2 countries spread over 2 weeks, backed by a cast of thousands who erect stage and sound equipment, transport gear, shuttle musicians from airports to hotels, and the concert organized food and drink facilities and take away the rubbish. The carbon emissions generated by all that heat and sound are phenomenal, so much so that the concert organizers Viv Lees and Ken West paid $30,000 to have trees planted on their behalf to offset the climate change pollution generated by the festival. For some time now, many at the Big Day Out have been uncomfortable because the gigantic scale of the show churns out through resources with too little consideration for the effect on the environment. The men told 2 fans, "We feel that we cannot continue with a business as usual approach." And the Rolling Stones have done similar things and whatnot. And more and more companies are claiming to have gone carbon neutral, and even consumers can fork out a small amount of money to have someone else plant trees or invest in renewable energy on their behalf without impinging on so-called lifestyle choices. And see, that's the thing. You can't just do the one. You know, going carbon neutral is, you know, all fine and dandy, but if you're not actually making any changes to reduce your own carbon footprint or in what you do, you're going the wrong direction. It's a very, very long piece. I don't want this to become the panacea for the environment where everybody feels like they're doing something but still spewing out the same amount of garbage that they did, or, you know, continue to increase their consumption and carbon footprint. And a quick program note, I've just been informed that due to a bit of a technical issue in the studio, which is not affecting me but is affecting Mr. Kincaid, we will be having a rerun of Friday's show for Head On tonight. Apologies, folks, apologies. Nothing could be done, and something needs to be sorted over there. So these things happen. But I know Bob is sick to death about it because, you know, he hates the weekend. He wants, you know, he's ripping things apart by the time Monday night comes along. So he'll be and he'll be raring to go tomorrow, I reckon. I was saying that this carbon neutral thing, I think it's a great idea, you know, and I like the fact that, you know, things like the Sunrise program over here and the Big Day Out and the last Stones tour, I think, all did this carbon neutral thing. And yeah, it's great to offset, and it's, you know, I mean, we need to plant more trees, and making sure that we plant them in areas where they'll actually be able to make it. Because this is where, in Australia, you know, we're in this massive, 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 never-ending bloody drought. And so where are these trees going to be planted? I know that they wanted to plant some very particular special indigenous gum trees. And that's great. But will this, you know, slowly singeing island nation be able to sustain them? It is a real worry at the moment. Queensland just announced yesterday that they're putting off a vote on a water recycling plant because they don't have time to have a vote. The premier is just going straight ahead with it because their reservoir levels in southern Queensland have hit 12% of capacity, right? And we're still growing cotton and rice here. Will we be able to sustain these trees even? Hopefully we can. And you know, let's just not use it as a way to make ourselves feel good, please. And where am I going? Where am I going? Here's where I'm going. The Independent, which is a really, really great source for regular environmental and global warming news, one of the mainstream publications that you can go to and find on a regular basis good and important stuff. And Steve Connor, their science editor, has done a piece here called Global Warming, the Vicious Cycle. Opens with the effects of man-made emissions of carbon dioxide are being felt on every inhabited continent in the world, and with very different parts of the climate now visibly responding to human activity. There are among many findings of the most intensive study of climate change by 2,000 of the world's leading climate scientists. They conclude that there is now little doubt that human activity is changing the face of the planet. In addition to rising surface temperatures around the world, scientists have now linked man-made emissions of greenhouse gases to significant increases in ocean temperatures, rises in sea levels, and the dramatic melting of Arctic sea ice over the past 35 years. A draft copy of the fourth report of the International Plan on Climate Change says that global temperature rises this century of between 2 and 4.5 degrees Celsius are almost inevitable. Ominously, however, it also says that much higher increases of 6 degrees Celsius or more cannot be ruled out. And the final version, and this is the report that, you know, Common Dreams was taking some issue with, so, I mean, we have to keep an eye on this. But even with a slightly rose-colored look on it, it's still bloody serious. It doesn't change anything. It says the final version, as we know, will come out on Friday. But even the Independent even says that even this report makes it clear that climate change could be far worse than previously thought because of potentially disastrous positive feedbacks that could accelerate rising temperatures. And I saw a story about the U.S. wanting to fund the Big Mirror Project again, and I'm just like, oh, geez. Oh, no. Not that thing again. Okay. A warmer world is increasing evaporation from the oceans, causing atmospheric concentrations of water vapor, a powerful greenhouse agent, to have increased by 4% over the sea since 1970. Water vapor in the atmosphere exacerbates the greenhouse effect. This is the largest positive feedback identified in the report, which details for the first time the IPCC's concern over the uncertainties and dangers of feedback cycles that may quickly accelerate climate change. Okay, this is just like, you know, a bad monitor engineer in a club, you know. It just starts feeding back in itself, and it just starts to become louder and louder and louder and stronger. The climate change models used by the IPCC also found that rising global temperatures will erode the planet's natural ability to absorb man-made CO2. This could lead to CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere rising by a further 44%, causing global average temperatures to increase by an additional 1.2 degrees Celsius by 2100. The IPCC's fourth assessment report will go further than any of its three previous reports in linking the clear signs of global climate change with increases in man-made emissions of CO2 and other greenhouse gases since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And like I say, in hindsight, the Industrial Revolution was a failure. And anyone says, look at all the development. Yeah, but look at the damage we did. Have we actually gotten any further? Confidence in the assessment of the human contributions to recent climate change has increased considerably since the third assessment report. Says the draft report, this is due to stronger signs of climate change emerging from longer and more detailed records and scientific observations. One could tend to get depressed. The anthropogenic signal, the visible signs of human influence on the climate, has now emerged not just in global average surface temperatures, but in global ocean temperatures. The ocean heat contact, temperature extremes on the land, and the rapidly diminishing Arctic ice. Anthropogenic warming of the climate system is widespread and can be detected in temperature observations taken at the surface, in the free atmosphere, and in the oceans, the draft report says. It's highly likely, greater than 95% probability, that the warming observed during the past half century cannot be explained without external forces. Human activity. Human activity. Let's see. The report adds that global warming over the past 50 years would have been worse had it not been for the counterbalancing influence of man-made emissions of aerosol pollutants, tiny airborne particles that reflect sunlight and cause atmospheric cooling. Without the cooling effect of atmospheric aerosols, it's likely that greenhouse gases alone would have caused more global mean temperature rise than that observed during the last 50 years, the draft report says. The hypothetical removal of from the atmosphere of the entire current burden of anthropogenic sulfate aerosol particles would produce a rapid increase of about 8 degrees centigrade within a decade or two in the globally average temperature. Oh my word. So, you know, I mean, some of the steps that we have taken have actually slowed it up. We could be, you know, if we hadn't done things that we did in the late 70s, we could be in more trouble than we are now. Ah! Drives me batty. Ah! All right, so, folks, we're going to wrap it up for today. And like I said, Bob is in a replay due to a technical issue over there. It'll be sorted out for tomorrow. Don't forget, Jeff Allen Wolf, now 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays here on the Horn. You got to check him out. You got to check him out. The guy is just one just smooth dude. And Dr. Bill now Monday and Friday, 3 to 5. And Joe Vecchio returning next week. And you're going to end up still having Joe launch off your day as the working man's thinking man. So I think, you know, things are moving along nicely here at the Horn. So, folks, thanks to Agnes and Bob for producing today and maintaining things as things are obviously going a little strange for you over there. And thanks to our bloggers who are having a minorly frustrating day, but we'll get you all sorted out. Thank you for everything. Thank you to our mods in the chat room and Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers, Scott at B1 Louder Productions. Thank you for the music. Thank you to Bob for announcing the program. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. And we will see you tomorrow. Be good, be green.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever whenever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
Ended by 4 months. Last week, Defense Secretary Robert Gates traveled to the country and met with top military commanders who said they need more troops. NATO will also add another combat brigade, the top NATO commander said today. Despite U.S. urging Afghanistan will not allow its heroin-producing poppy fields to be sprayed with herbicide, Afghan President Hamid Karzai received pressure from Afghan lawmakers who feared there would be a popular backlash against them. There was a record crop of opium in Afghanistan in 2006. President Bush will ask Congress for $10.5 billion more for security and reconstruction in Afghanistan, since the U.S.-led invasion against the country made that the Taliban back in 2001. The U.S. has spent more than $14 billion in such aid. Senate Democrats are hesitant about President Bush's upcoming request for $1.2 billion for Iraqi reconstruction. There are concerns about how the money will be used. In Lebanon, at least 3 people were killed in the third day of violence between pro- and anti-government supporters. Today's clashes around the campus of Beirut's Arab University, it's where students threw rocks, sticks, and other objects. In Paris, a donor conference for aid to Lebanon began today, $7.6 billion pledged by more than 40 nations and financial institutions. In central Baghdad today, 26 people were killed by a suicide car bomb blast, which occurred in a mostly Shiite neighborhood. 54 were wounded. It happened shortly after Iraq's prime minister warned militants that the U.S.-Iraqi joint security crackdown is on its way. A soldier from the 101 Airborne Division pleaded guilty today in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to the murder of 3